Hello, hello. Welcome back to the lesson series on Melchizedek. We're on lesson number three, and we're going to take a little bit of a detour here in the scripture. I want to talk about a special relationship that Abraham had with Melchizedek, and the way that I imagined a conversation went. So we're going to start with Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8 says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." And I think it's very interesting and very inspiring that God would call Abraham his friend. We know that God presented himself to Noah, but he came from a position of authority. God presented himself to Cain and spoke with Cain and came to him as a position of authority. But God had not come in a personal and friendly way to talk to a man since Adam and Eve. We know that from Genesis 2:19, God would come down and talk to Adam and say, "What are you going to name this? And what are you going to name that?" And in 3:8, the first part, it says that God appeared and he came walking in the cool of the evening, to come down and talk to them and to spend time with them and to fellowship with them. And so that kind of a relationship is implied in this verse that says, "Abraham, my friend." The question is, does that play out in Scripture? And the answer, of course, is yes, it does, in a very beautiful way. We already saw the introduction of Melchizedek when Abraham came from the battle and met with the king of Salem and the king of Sodom. And he paid tithes to the king of Salem because he knew who that was. Now, in this next passage in Genesis chapter 18, it does not give the name of Melchizedek. But just from my perspective and what I believe that let's read a little bit of it and see if we can catch it together. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." What kind of relationship was there? Yes, he called himself the servant, and he called him Lord. But it's interesting that here Abraham is resting in the heat of the day. He had his own servants and his own people around to wait on him as need be, but he himself got up on his feet and ran and bowed himself and invited his Lord to come and sit with him. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of that conversation. There's the story of Sarah and the promise of a child, as well as the debate back and forth between Abraham and God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You should read that for yourself. It's very interesting. But what I want you to think about is the fact that here God came down and appeared with his angels and sat down under the tent with Abraham. And later on in Isaiah, he describes him as Abraham, my friend. So this is a friendly conversation. And the way I picture it is all the times here in Nebraska where I've gone camping and sat with my family and sat around the campfire and had friendly conversations and talked of things. And here these men, or one man and one God actually, are sitting around the campfire and having a friendly conversation. Why would God debate with a man? There was something special about Abraham and his faith that God recognized. But God came down and sat with him around the fire and could easily have had a marshmallow and been cooking it over the flames. I believe that this is Melchizedek. How did Abraham so easily recognize who he was? He had met him before. He had met Melchizedek. And so God comes in the same form that Abraham recognized as Melchizedek, and they sat down together and had a conversation. It was friendly. It was amazing. Can you imagine yourself having that same conversation with God? Can you see yourself sitting down around a campfire and talking about anything? Having even a debate with the Almighty. Here is God himself who humbled himself to come down in the form of a human being and sit down next to Abraham and debated with him and listened to Abraham's point of view. That was the same thing God was doing with Adam as well. He listened to Adam's point of view. He said, Adam, what are you going to call that? And even though the scripture condenses that interaction, I imagine they had conversations and God asked him questions and Adam responded. And that back and forth, that right there is the purpose for which all humans are made. God created us because he wanted to procreate himself, and he gave us free will because he wanted to have a conversation with us to be able to say, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? I think that's absolutely beautiful. And that was part of what God was doing. He was there as Melchizedek, and Abraham called him Lord. I want to add just one more small piece onto this, that here God comes again in flesh much later in John chapter 14. Let me just turn there real quick. John chapter 14. A very illuminating conversation, okay? Starting with verse 8, it says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. As an aside, that declaration right there kind of destroys the whole theory of the Trinity, but that's okay. It's for another day. But I wanted to look at that, and I want you to understand that here is Jesus, and he is saying, you want to see the Father, but I am showing you the Father. Paul said that he was the visible part of the invisible God. And that's very true. Now, here is Jesus, and we believe that Jesus as a man, body, soul, and spirit, was not Melchizedek. He was after the order of Melchizedek. Because here, if he had been Melchizedek, he would have said, have I been with you so long? How sayest thou then, show us the Father? But he says, the words that I speak unto you, I am the Lord God, there is no other. That is what God said earlier in the Bible. I am the Lord God, and there is no other. Those are the words of the Lord. But here he said, what? I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. So Jesus was not Melchizedek himself. We talked before about the fact that Jesus has a father, but Melchizedek has no mother or father. We talked about the fact that Jesus himself, he had an adoptive mother, but Melchizedek had none. Melchizedek had no descent, and yet here is the same God speaking to Philip with the lips of Jesus. That is why Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, because he had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that God was living God was Emmanuel. God was living in flesh, living in the flesh of Jesus, but with Jesus in that flesh. One more scripture for today. One more scripture. And that is over in chapter 15, verse 15 to 17. He says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And I want to tell you this thing. And that is that when we think about Abraham as the friend of God, God took the time to come and sit at a campfire with Abraham to talk about what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah, to consult with Abraham to find out what Abraham might say about God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that conversation, we know that Abraham interceded for Lot and convinced God to spare Lot, which he did. We see that God humbled himself to be in the form of a human being, to what? To sit down next to Abraham in conversation and let him know what was going to happen and what was in his mind. And that is exactly what Jesus is describing here. He says, "I call you friends, because the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." And yet God let Abraham know what was going on and then called him his friend. Brothers and sisters, that is what we are called to be, the friends of God, the friends of Jesus, the brothers and sisters of Christ. That what? Why is that? Because we're supposed to be told what he's doing. God's intent is for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He cares about you so much. And he wants you to be his friend, the way he was friends with Abraham, the way he was friends with Adam. All right, I'll stop there. I hope you have an absolutely lovely day. God bless you all.